الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن أولياؤه إلا المتقون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. The next point on this path of the righteous is that we should have a habit of making du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in seclusion. Many times we make du'as to Allah ta'ala, but we should strive and try that there should be some du'as that we make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we make in seclusion. We hide from others. Some du'as, it should be a secret between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether we make those du'as at the time of the tahajjud, or we make those du'as at some point during the day. So we, in solitude, in seclusion, where people are not watching, people are not seeing, we turn and attach ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we make dua. The reason is that dua is, it's the weapon of a believer, and dua is our need. It's a way through which we express our dependence before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua is a way through which we express our need before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the reason why this amal, this act of making dua, it's so beloved to Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran commands us that you should make dua to me. So for example, in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that ud'uni astajib lakum, then make dua to me. And then immediately Allah also promises that I will accept your dua. And on the other hand, those who do not make dua, Allah says that I become upset with them. غَذِبَ عَلَيْ, the Prophet ﷺ said that those who don't make dua, Allah becomes upset with them. That why aren't they making dua to me? Why do they think that they can act independently of me? Why do they think that they are self-sufficient, they don't need me? So this makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upset. If you look historically, that whoever went through a difficult time in their life, they made du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their du'as. This is something that opens up when we read the Quran. For example, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he made a mistake, ate from that tree, and then he called upon Allah in dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he also was oppressed by his own people, made dua to Allah, Allah ta'ala accepted his dua. Sayyidina Yunus, Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, was inside the belly of the whale, and from there he called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala gave him salvation. Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam was extremely ill and sick, called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that state, and Allah ta'ala gave him health. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was being thrown inside the fire by Nimrud, and he called upon Allah ta'ala that Allah is sufficient for me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned that fire into a garden. Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam, not just the men, Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam, she is in the valley of Makkah Mukarrama, no water, and she makes dua to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives her Zamzam. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he is on the bank of the river, makes dua to Allah ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala opens up pathways to which he can cross. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam is inside the prison, and in seclusion he makes dua to Allah ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets him free. And then we look at the Prophet ﷺ, so many instances in his life, Badr and Uhud and Khandak and Hunain. The Prophet ﷺ is continuously making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists the Prophet ﷺ. So we see that whoever turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in duas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their dua. So dua is not only our need, it has been the way of the pious. It has been the way of the righteous. It has been the way of all those people who are maqbool and beloved in the sight of Allah. Any time when they faced any difficulty in their life, they would turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua. But remember, we should try to make dua in such a way that we can hide our duas from others, so that there is more ikhlas and sincerity in that dua. And we should also understand that making dua itself is a stand-alone ibadat of Allah, mustaqil ibadah. Sometimes we think that when I'm making dua, I need something and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill my need, and that is the only benefit that I get from that dua. We forget that the time that I'm spending making dua, that time also counts as worship. That time also counts as ibadah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding that person for every moment that they're spending while making dua. This is the reason why the Prophet ﷺ said that a dua huwal ibadah. The dua is ibadah, it's an act of worship. A dua mukhul ibadah. Dua is the essence of worship. But it's possible that a person might think that I try to make du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sometimes I make so many du'as, but I don't see those du'as are being accepted by Allah. Even though in the Quran I read that Allah is promising that du'as are accepted, I look at my own life, I see that the du'as are not being accepted. So what is the reason for this? So we should understand that a person, whatever dua they make to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our du'as, but sometimes there is delay in the acceptance of our du'a, and there are some reasons for that. There are some reasons why the du'as are not accepted immediately, and I want to mention three. Our mashayikh, they explain three reasons in particular. First thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes doesn't accept our du'as immediately because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to test us to see whether my servant is a strong in their iman or are they a weak believer. A strong person is someone who makes du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day, continues making du'a for a week, a month, a year. Even if the dua is not accepted, that person continues to make dua, keeps themselves attached at the door of Allah. This is a strong believer. And a weak believer is someone who makes dua on one day for 1 week, 1 month, And then when he sees that du'as are not being accepted, he leaves the door and he says that Allah does not listen to me, na'udhu billah, that Allah doesn't accept my du'as. So we should try to be a strong believer. Keep on asking Allah, keep on making du'a to Allah, that eventually one day or the other this door will open and I will be able to get what I want. And we should also remember that that person should leave the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has an alternative, who has some other substitute door to go to. But if someone doesn't have any other door other than the door of Allah, then we don't have any other option. We have to attach ourselves with this door of Allah. It's not like the case of the beggars in this world, where they can beg at one door, they don't get, they go to a second door, then they go to a third door. They always have alternatives. For us, we don't have any other door to go to except for the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the door before which the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam would bow down. This is the door before which the Sahaba ikram would come and they would bow down. This is the door before which all the righteous and the pious, the Salaf Saliheen, the Siddiqeen and the Saliheen, they would come and they would present themselves before this door of Allah, bow down before this door of Allah, and make dua to Allah at His doorstep. This is the door that we have, and the only door that we have in our life. We have to keep ourselves attached with this door and keep on asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that eventually one day the gaze of Allah's mercy will fall and this door will open up for us. In the books, it's mentioned that there was a pious man who had a habit of going to Hajj every year. And one time he went with one of his helpers. And when both of them were in the plains of Arafah and they were reciting Talbiyah, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, so there came a voice from the top which said, La Labbaik lak, that your Labbaik is not accepted. And again, this old man, this pious man said, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. And again, that voice came, La Labbaik, that your Labbaik is not Kubul. So that helper, he said that, Hazrat, when you were making dua and then you heard this voice that La Labbaik, then why are you continuing to recite this? Why do you insist? Why are you persisting and saying Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik? So that Sheikh, he replied and said, the reason is very simple, that you are hearing this voice for the first time. But I have been performing Hajj for the last 30 years, and every year I hear the same sound, the same voice. Whenever I say Labbaik, I hear from the top that someone says La Labbaik. So then the helper was even more surprised. He said that every year you hear the same sound, then why are you here? Why do you come? And then the Sheikh replied, then tell me that is there any other door to go to other than this door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I only, in front of me, I only have this one door and I have to keep myself attached to this door. I need to keep on making this Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, irrespective whether this Labbaik is accepted or not. And he said this with so much humility that then he heard a sound, a voice that said that we have accepted this Hajj of yours and all the previous Hajj that you did in your life. So this is a reality that we have to keep ourselves attached with the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep on making dua to Allah. Once there was a beggar and was blind as well. And he was asking people that give me something. And he went from door to door. And then he didn't realize that he had reached the door of the masjid. He was blind. And he's knocking at the door. And the door was not opening. He knocked again. Again, the door did not open. So he became upset. He became angry and said that whose door is this? Who is so stingy that they're not even opening this door, that I'm knocking on this door for so long and this door is not opening? So as he was saying those words, a young man walked by. And he said that, oh, old man, this is not the house of someone. This is a masjid. This is the masjid. You are knocking at the door of the masjid. So the moment this old man, he heard this, he had this bowl in his hand. He put that down. And then he said that now that I've come at the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I don't need to go to any other door. I now have come to the door of Allah. I don't need to go to any other. This is what the reality is, that if we can learn to attach ourselves with the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is no need for us to go to other people. There's no need for us to beg before others, to cry before others. Other people themselves are needy and dependent. They themselves have issues and troubles in their own life. They don't have the ability to solve their own problems. So why attach ourselves with those people when we have the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of us? So we should make dua to Allah, but with consistency. And the second reason why sometimes du'as are not immediately accepted is that we are making du'as, but we don't have conviction in the acceptance of those du'as. And we should always remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats His servants the way the servants think about Allah. In Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah says this, Ana inda zanni abdi bi, that I am with my servant, I behave with my servant, I engage with my servant the way they think about me. So if we are making dua and we are doubting our own duas, I don't know whether Allah will accept my dua or not, then our dua will be shaky. We cannot be sure whether duas will be accepted. We are doubting our own duas. And this is really scary and something very dangerous in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making a promise to us. Imagine if someone outwardly pious makes a promise to us, and we look at his appearance, his demeanor, and we say that, okay, he looks pious, so let me trust him. Let me trust what he is saying. So if we can trust the promises of people, then how is it that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a promise to us, we are unwilling to trust Allah's promises? Yes, Allah makes a promise to us. In the Quran, when Allah Ta'ala says that ud'uni, make dua to me, and then Allah Ta'ala says, Astajib lakum, I will accept your dua. That is a promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making to us in the Quran. And yet we sometimes have misgivings about the promise of Allah. I don't know whether my duas will be accepted or not. Having misgivings for someone, that is such a major sin in the deen. And here we are having misgivings about not someone, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. That being, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا, who is more, who can be more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We have misgivings about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason why these misgivings arise is because of shaitan. Shaitan wants to cause separation between us and Allah Ta'ala. He puts those waswasa, those whispers into our heart, and he makes us have those misgivings for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He says to us, "Look at you, how will your du'as be accepted? You are not pious, you are not virtuous, you are committing these sins. How can your du'as be accepted?" This is Shaitan's ploy and strategy. In fact, the haqiqat is that if you look in the Quran, Shaitan too made dua to Allah. Allah did not reject the dua of Shaitan even. Shaitan made dua. He made dua to Allah that Allah give me respite until the day of Qiyamah so that I can lead mankind astray. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted Shaitan's dua. Then why don't we say this to Shaitan? That Shaitan, when your dua was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how will my dua, why will my dua be rejected? Why will my dua be rejected? You refused to do sajda and yet Allah accepted your dua. I am coming to Allah Ta'ala having performed sajda. Then why will my dua be rejected? You are being thrown out of the gathering. And while being thrown out of Allah's presence, you made dua and your dua was accepted. I have now entered into the masjid, the house of Allah, and here I'm making dua. Why will my dua be rejected? Dua will be accepted provided we make dua with the yaqeen, with conviction, with certainty in our heart. And the third reason, final reason, why duas are sometimes delayed is that we don't know how to make dua. We sometimes make dua as if we are assigning a task to someone, like giving an order to someone, that Allah, my job, Allah, my marriage, Allah, my son, Allah, my daughter, as if we are tasking someone, giving an order, a command to someone. This is not how to make duas. Duas are not words. Duas are to be made with person's heart. The heart has to be there. Dua has to be made with humility, with humility, with humbleness. Allah says in Quran, "Ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufiya." Then make dua to Allah as if your body, you're trembling. Your heart is feeling it in silence, in solitude, in seclusion, in secret, where your heart is there with humility. Make such duas to Allah, and then truly, while making duas with humility, duas are accepted when a person, they begin to cry in their duas. When tears begin to shed, that is what attracts the mercy and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So learning to cry while making dua. In the dunya, it's easy for us to get our work done. One thing that we use is wealth. People say that this person is wealthy. He uses his wealth. He can get everything done. Whenever he has any issue, he just uses his wealth, spends his money, and he is able to get his work done. And sometimes people say that we are able to get our work done because of our contacts. That this person has contacts, he knows people, and hence is able to get his work done. So dunya, the matter is that you can get your work done whenever you have any issue, a problem. We can solve our problems by either having wealth or by having contacts. But in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wealth will not be of any value. We cannot bribe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot convince Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot even use any contacts against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing that works with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is humility and tears. Is humility and tears. That is the way to convince Allah. That is the way to win over Allah. That is the way to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person begins to shed tears from their eyes, that is what attracts the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One sheikh, he said something really beautiful. He said that, oh young man, remember when you were young, when you were small, when you were a baby, you did not have anything of your own. You did not possess anything of your own. You did not have any wealth. You did not have any contacts. You did not even have full energy. You did not even have any knowledge. You were so innocent that you couldn't even recognize your own parents. You were so ignorant that you didn't even have any knowledge. You couldn't even ask anything. You couldn't utter a word. You did not have anything of your own accord. But you had one thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you one quality, and that is that you had the ability to cry. And by crying and shedding tears, you were able to solve all the problems of your life. You were able to solve all the issues of your life by this one quality that you knew how to cry. You would become hungry, you would start crying. The mother, she would come and she would feed you, nurse you. You would become sleepy, you would start crying. Your mother, your parents would come, they would put you to sleep. You did not know how to turn, how to change your side. You would start crying, and then someone would come and assist you. Yani, whatever need, whatever wish you had, whatever need you had in your life, Whatever issue you faced in your life, all you knew was just to cry. How to cry? You would start crying, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would solve that issue for you. Oh, young man, now you have grown up. Now you're old. Now you have lost how to cry. And because you have lost how to cry, you have these issues and problems in your life, and these issues, they remain unresolved. If only you could now return to that lesson of your childhood and learn how to cry the way you used to cry when you were young, then you will see that just like when you were young, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solved all the issues of your life today as well, that same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can solve all the issues that you're facing in your life right now as well. All we need to do is just to learn to cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our du'as. And Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala an, he would go further and say that if a person is unable to cry in their du'as, it can happen that sometimes because of sin, because of heedlessness, the heart becomes so hard, it becomes so rigid, it becomes almost like dead, that a person wants to cry, but still they're unable to shed tears. So in that situation, what should a person do? Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala an, he said that a person should acquire the facial expression of crying, and that surat and appearance of crying will also be enough to attract the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless this person with the tawfiq to cry, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will solve his problems and grant him his dua as well. So if you're unable to cry, then at least, at the very least, we should try in our duas to acquire the facial expression of crying. That can also attract the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So making dua not just with our words, but with our heart. And while we make du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should also remember, so three principles that we mentioned, that first we make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with consistency. This is the need, that when we make du'a to Allah, make du'a with, as a strong believer. And we make du'a by placing our trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make du'a with humility, with humbleness. At the same time, and this is another mistake that we make, that we should not complain to people. It's a brief thing, but it's a really important thing. That we should never complain to people. Never complain to people. This is disloyalty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whenever we have any issues in our life, we start complaining about Allah to people. How bad does this look? How badly does this reflect upon our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That when everything is going fine, we forget Allah. We forget to show shukr, to be appreciative, to be grateful to Allah ta'ala. And then whenever there is a slight issue in our life, a slight problem, some problem, we start complaining about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people. So this is something that should be avoided. We should never complain to people. Allah ta'ala, we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is anything we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turn to Allah. We should never complain to the people. People say that this person is bad, that person is doing this to me. We should realize and understand that whatever is happening to me, whatever people are saying to me, whatever is happening to me, it's happening with the will of Allah, with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should always think like this, that it's not that this person is troubling me, or that person is taunting me, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him trouble me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him taunt me. So try to please Allah ta'ala. Try to understand the source that maybe we have done something to displease Allah, to make Allah ta'ala upset. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing these things to happen to me, allowing this person to trouble me, allowing that person to tease me, allowing this person to taunt me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing these people. So we should try to please Allah ta'ala. If we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be no one to trouble us. Otherwise, we will be complaining about people. The wife will be complaining about the husband. The husband is complaining about the wife. We should never complain. We should try to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. We make Allah ta'ala pleased. In return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give happiness to us in our relationships as well. It is that easy. We fix our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fix our relationship with other people in our life. It's so easy. It's that easy. But the mistake again we make here is that we don't fix our relationship with Allah. We don't make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. And we are trying our utmost to win the heart of the other person. We are doing so much to win their heart. We tire ourselves. And then at the end of the day, we say that I'm doing so much, but still that person is not pleased with me. They're still unhappy with me. They still have misgivings in their heart for me. The reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets those misgivings remain in their heart. Why? Because we haven't fixed our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the foundation, the bunyad. We forgot that relationship. And that is why these misgivings continue. Once there was a sahabi who came to Ummul Mu'mineen, Amma Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and said that, Ummul Mu'mineen, you spent so many years in the company of the Prophet ﷺ. You had the benefit of the sohbah of Nabi ﷺ. Can you give us some advice so that we can also benefit from you? Amma Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she gave that sahabi some advice. And this was such a beautiful advice, worth writing with golden ink. Worth writing with golden ink. She gave him advice and said that remember that if a person, they displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to please a creation. If a person, in order to please a creation, they end up displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be unhappy, will be upset with this person, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also make a people unhappy with this individual. And on the other hand, if a person, they want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the process of pleasing Allah ta'ala, even if they end up displeasing creation, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become happy with this person, and Allah ta'ala will pour happiness into the hearts of other people for him as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put love for this person in the hearts of other people as well. So we realize that if we can fix our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fix our relationship with other people. If we can become the beloved of Allah, then Allah ta'ala will make us the beloved of people around us as well. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith. Hadith Qudsi, Allah ta'ala says that when a person, they try to please me, and then they come to a point where now Allah ta'ala becomes pleased with them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes happy with them, this person becomes the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala calls us Sayyidina Jibra'il alayhi salatu wassalam and commands the angel that go up to the heavens and make this announcement in the sky that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this person XYZ. So all the angels, they should also love that person. So the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam goes up and he makes that announcement, and as a result, this person now becomes the beloved of all the malaika, all the angels. It begins with this person becoming the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then this person becomes the beloved of the angels as well. And then the hadith continues further. Then Allah Ta'ala commands Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, then make that same announcement to the creation on the face of this earth. And Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam makes that same announcement, and the hadith, the words of the hadith are that Allah Ta'ala then grants qubuliyya, an acceptance to that person on the face of this earth as well. That person ends up becoming the beloved, the mahabub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ends up becoming the mahabub and the beloved of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Allah puts muhabba in the hearts of other people. Today, 1400 years have passed by, and yet when we take the names of the sahaba, we say, radhi Allahu anhum wa radu an, that may Allah be pleased with them. We have muhabbat for the sahaba. We never saw them. And yet Allah placed their muhabbat in our hearts. Why? Because they fixed their relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala put their muhabbat into our hearts. 1400 years have passed and we still have muhabbat and love for them in our hearts. So we should never complain to people. We should try to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. And in return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us happiness in our relationships as well. And no matter what the situation and the circumstances are in our life, we should learn to remain pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all circumstances. Yes, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyah. We should never ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tests, trials, tragedies, difficulties. We are weak. We should express our weakness before Allah ta'ala. Allah, I'm not ready for any test. Allah, if you will test me, Allah, I will fail all my tests. Allah, I'm a weak student. Allah, I'm very weak. Allah, please save me from all kinds of tests and trials and tribulations. That should be our dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah, I ask you for afiyat. Allah, I ask you for well-being. Well-being in my dunya. Well-being in my akhirah. Well-being in my deen. Well-being in my health. Well-being in my relationship. Well-being in every aspect of my life. Allah, grant me afiyat. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends some test in our life, some halat, some difficult circumstances happen to come in our life, then we should not complain about that to people. Rather, we should learn to remain razi, pleased, content with the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is initially difficult, but this is something which is extremely beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person learns to remain razi with Allah. A person, they learn to remain pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why in one hadith it comes, إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ عَبْدًا إِبْتَلَاهُ. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has muhabbat, has love for his servant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts that person through a test. But if that person remains the razi and pleased with Allah during that test, istafahu, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala includes that person among his muqarrabeen, among those who are beloveds of Allah, those who are close and near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should learn to remain razi and pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all circumstances. Look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So many tests and trials came in his blessed life. There was Uhud, there was Badr, there was Taif. And yet in all of those situations, we see that the Prophet ﷺ always remained content with Allah, always remained razi with Allah. Never did he complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never did he complain to people about Allah. Always remained razi. Once, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he made dua to Allah Ta'ala, that, O Allah, that ummat which receives your mercy your special mercy, that ummah which is ummate marhuma, that ummah which receives your special mercy, which ummah is it? Which ummah is it that it receives the greatest of your mercies and rahmah? So the reply came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that that would be the ummah of my beloved Nabi. That would be the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Because the reason is, I will give them little. I will give them little. They will be pleased and content with the little that I give them. And then when they will give me little amal, little good deeds, I will be pleased with their little good deeds. I will give them less, but they will be content with less. So when they will give me amal and good deeds which are less, I will also remain razi with their less. So whoever, when we look at our worldly life, they might be people who have less in this dunya. They might be people who have less rizq in their dunya, less money in this dunya, less wealth in this dunya. But if we have less in this dunya and still we remain pleased with Allah, we remain content with Allah, razi with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be razi with our less amal. And on the other hand, that person who is upset, who is not satisfied with the rizq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, then on that day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also not be satisfied with their deeds, their good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, I also want more good deeds. Show me more. You wanted more rizq in the dunya. I want to see more of your good deeds on that day. Then it will be a problem for us. Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam and said that, O Dawood, do you know that who are those people who will be quickest, who will be able to cross the bridge in the least amount of time? Who will be the quickest in terms of traversing the bridge on the day of judgment? Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, he replied that, Allah, I don't know. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, O Dawood, it will be those people, this will be those individuals who learned to remain pleased with my decisions in the dunya. On the day of Qiyamah, they will be the fastest in terms of traversing the bridge into Jannat. So if we want that we can quickly traverse this bridge, the Pul Sirat, on the day of Qiyamah, and we can cross over and enter into Jannah, then for that today, we have to learn today to remain razi with the decisions of Allah. We have to learn this quality. We have to practice, implement this quality in our life. Learn to remain pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that all the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are based on hikmat. We may not realize, we may not understand fully what the wisdom is. I become sick. There is some hikmat in that. Something happens to me. There is some hikmat, some wisdom in that. I'm getting less money. There is some reason in that. I might not know what the reason is, but surely that Allah Ta'ala who loves me more than 70 combined mothers, who loves me more than 100 mothers combined, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He has decreed something for me, that decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based on love. It's based on His love that He has for His servants. It's based on His compassion, on His kindness, on His generosity, on His hikmat, on His wisdom that He has. So we should learn, we should feel content in our heart that regardless, that I may not be able to understand why this is happening to me, but Allah Ta'ala loves me more than my mother. Whatever is happening, surely it's for my best. Surely it's for my betterment. Surely this is the best. That is why Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has decreed this for me. This raza bil qaza, to remain razi on our decree. This is something which is very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever can learn to remain pleased with the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person becomes the beloved, the mahabub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once there was a pious person, someone asked him that when does a person become a servant? When does a person become a servant of Allah? And that person replied that when a person learns how to remain pleased with the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is when a person becomes a servant of Allah in the true meaning of that word. So we should remain content with the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last thing is that this remaining content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has three aspects. To remain razi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my Rabb, we should be happy about this. That Allah ta'ala is my Rabb. That Allah ta'ala, who loves me more than all the mothers combined, that Allah Ta'ala, that loving Allah Ta'ala is my Rabb. And second aspect is to be happy and pleased that the Prophet ﷺ is my Nabi. A person should be happy about this, that I am the Ummati of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And third and last thing is that a person should be happy that Islam is my deen. If Allah Ta'ala had made us into some other, given us some other religion, then we wouldn't have this ni'mat of Islam. We should be happy and feel that joy in our heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this deen of Islam for us. So if we can remain happy about these three things, if we can remain content about these three things, the Prophet ﷺ said, Zaka ta'mal iman. Zaka ta'mal iman, that person will be able to taste the sweetness of iman. That person, man radiya billahi rabba, that person who is razi with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their Rabb, wa bil islami deena, and who's razi with Islam as their deen, wa bi Muhammadin rasula sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and was razi with the Prophet sallam as their messenger. So whoever, when a person gets these three qualities, then Allah will bless them with the sweetness and the joy of iman. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grant us the tawfiq, grant all of us the tawfiq, that we can remain razi with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all our circumstances, in all our halat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this maqam of raza bil qaza, grant us the tawfiq to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us people of dua. No, this is the month of Ramadan. It's the month of dua. And then the last ashra is also about to start very soon. We should now increase in our duas. Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and she said that the Prophet ﷺ would make duas with a lot of lajajat in the month of Ramadan, with a lot of humility, with trying to cry. And up till now, Ramadan, we were fasting and taraweeh, we're praying taraweeh. But now we should go beyond fasting and taraweeh. We should go beyond taraweeh and fasting. We should now think that now it's time that we should start taking. We should start taking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan is no, it's not. It's no longer about taraweeh. It's no longer about fasting. The time has started. For us to start taking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah wants to give. We should start to take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants to bless us. Allah wants to grant us. Allah wants to give us. Allah wants to give us everything. It's time that we start taking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's time that we start begging Allah. It's time that we start pleading before Allah. It's time that we start making du'as to Allah, pouring our heart before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every need, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every forgiveness, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for every single sin that we have done. And we should not settle for anything less than that, because that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us in this ashra. This is the ashra of maghfirah. We should not settle for anything less than the fact that, Allah, I want my every single sin to be forgiven. Ya Allah, I want that you forgive every single sin of me. Allah, I want to present every single sin before you humbly, with humility, with humbleness. We should present ourselves before Allah in these days, in these nights, in this month, in this ashra of maghfirah, and that I will not rest until I present every single sin before Allah, every single ghaflat before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single flaw and weakness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will not rest until every single sin has been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give to us in this ashra. If we bring our sins to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, present our sins before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghaffar. He is the most forgiving. If we present our needs before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fulfiller of all our needs. If we present our weaknesses before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can remove all the burdens, all the worries that are on our shoulder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can relieve us of our stresses, of our worries and issues and problems in our life. If we can present our weaknesses and our needs before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truly Ar-Rahman. He is the all-merciful. Allah will grace us, will shower us with His mercy and with His rahmah. So it's up to us that the way we present ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to reciprocate. Allah ta'ala is willing to respond, and willing to respond much, much more, much, much more intensely than the way we want to come to Allah. In Hadith Qudsi, it comes that if a person comes to Allah ta'ala one hand span, Allah's mercy will come to him an arm's length. If a person comes to Allah Ta'ala in arm's length, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to that person walking. And then if a person comes to Allah Ta'ala walking, in atani yamshi fa'ataytu harwala, then Allah Ta'ala's mercy will come to that person fleeing. Allah's mercy will come to that person racing. So we should also, this is an opportunity, that no matter what step we take, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reciprocate much, much more. So if we shed one tear out of our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala is there. Allah is willing to shower thousands of His mercies upon us. If we can make one true tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, willing to shower His thousand repentances, kubuliya, upon us. If we can shed one remorse and regret in our heart in this ashra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to wipe away all our sins, to drown us in His rahmah, in His mercy. We should then turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ashra. We should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this whole month. This is the month that we can reconcile with Allah ta'ala. And the best way to reconcile is to turn to Allah ta'ala in tawbah, and to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua. These are the two things which are so beloved to Allah ta'ala. In a hadith, it comes that a person is making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala at that point is upset with this individual. This person continues to make dua, and then Allah Ta'ala announces, Allah Ta'ala says this before the angels, that, oh my angels, bear witness that this person, it seems, has made this intention that he will not ask from anyone other than me. So I also make you witness that I will grant whatever this person is asking from me, and then I also have become pleased with my servant. Allah becomes razi with this person. All this person was doing was at the doorstep, was coming at the doorstep of Allah and turning to Allah, making dua to Allah Ta'ala. One last thing we should remember, that while we make dua, we should also first repent of our sins before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we forgive, when we seek forgiveness from our sins, that is what attracts that rahmat of Allah. That is what attracts that kubuliyah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once there were some people who came to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and they said, Oh, Nabi of Allah, you are the Kaleem of Allah. We are going through a difficult time. There is no water, there is famine. So if you can please make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah can shower rain upon us. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he said that I'll make dua. And then he started making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's making dua to Allah and he's saying, Allahummaghfirli, Allahummaghfirli, that oh Allah forgive us. Allahummaghfirlana, oh Allah forgive us. Oh Allah forgive us. The people were surprised. They said, that Musa alayhi salam, we are asking you to make dua for rain, and you are making dua that may Allah forgive our sins. Why? And then Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam explained that the reason why these rains have stopped, the reason why this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stopped is because of our sins. And if we can seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala can forgive our sins, then that which is holding back the rahmat of Allah will be gone, and that obstacle will be gone, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace will come upon us, Allah's mercy and rahmah will descend upon us. So we should also in our du'as make true tawbah to Allah. Make true tawbah to Allah, and then if once we make true tawbah, then we make dua, this will attract that special rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala, then may Allah Ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq and all of us the ability that we can act upon all of these teachings of our deen. May Allah Ta'ala make us people of tawbah. May Allah Ta'ala make us people of dua. May Allah Ta'ala make us people who can practice this radha bil qada, who always remain razi with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala accept these intentions and du'as from all of us tonight. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.